I'm going to invite the kids who are here to come and sit in the front two rows here, if that's your family's plan. And there's some Bibles here, but if you have your own Bible, you should bring your own Bible. We might need to share some empty chairs from the sides here, if that's possible. So today's sermon is aimed towards the children, but it's for us all from God's word. So let's pray, and then we are going to be reading at the beginning from the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the very first chapter. But let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you see each one of us here, big and small, young and old. You knew each of us from before time and knew that you were sending the Savior into a world with us in it as people who need Christ. And I pray that we would see how Jesus, your Son, meets our deepest need and brings you so much glory in his coming to earth, and that we each would respond here by your grace with faith and trust in him. In his name we pray, amen. All right, so let's just take a minute to find John chapter 1. So it's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four books of the New Testament. So maybe once you've found that, just hold a finger up, John 1. Okay, couple more people to find it still. All right, you found John 1, hold your finger up, John 1. All right, so take that finger and just stick it on the page so you don't lose it. So we're going to read it in a second. So last week, if you were here for the sermon, we heard from Matthew chapter 1. And we heard about two names that Mary's son would be called. Any of the children remember one of the names that was talked about in last week's sermon from Matthew 1? What would be one of the names of Mary's son? Give you a clue. One of them starts with J. Benji? Jesus, which means, you guys remember? No? Not God with us. Close. God saves. God saves. Jesus means God saves. The other name means God with us, and it starts with an I. Do you remember what it is, Noah? Emmanuel. God with us. So Mary's son will be called Jesus, God saves, and Emmanuel, which means God with us. And you notice both of those names start with who? God, right? So Matthew 1, God saves, God with us. And there's something about the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, that is really interesting and important to notice, that almost all the stories are about showing how God has to save. It has to be God who saves us. We can't save ourselves. People can't save themselves. God has to save us. And so then in Matthew, we hear this good news. God has come to save us. God has come to be with us. But there's something else in the Old Testament that's really interesting, and I wonder if you noticed it today when Naeem was speaking about the worship passage, it's that there's also all these stories in the Old Testament where God says he's going to send a man to save us. He's going to send a king to rule over his people. He's going to send a prophet to speak truth to God's people. He's going to send a priest to take away God's people's sins. He's going to send a servant to die for his people's sins. And so in Matthew, we read about Emmanuel, God with us, but it's a baby. So this raises a question for us, and it's, which is it? What sort of savior, what sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? A God savior or a man savior? So we're not going to answer that question yet, but that's going to be the question we're thinking about today, all right? What sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? But here's how we're going to get at that question. You ready? The following question, and I want you to be thinking about your answer to this, then we're going to look at John 1. Was Jesus God or was Jesus a man? Just so be thinking about it. I'm not going to take answers yet. Was Jesus God or was Jesus a man? Because that's how we're going to find out the answer to what sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God. So look at John chapter 1, verse 1. And it's going to call the redeemer or the savior the word. But just keep in mind that in John, that person is the savior, the redeemer. In the beginning was the word, the redeemer, the savior, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, so we're starting to get an answer to this question, right? Because John 1, verses 1 through 4, say the Bible teaches that the Savior, Jesus, was the eternal Son of God who created the world with his Father. But then, jump down to John chapter 1, verse 14. Find the little 14. John 1, 14. Listen to what it says now. And the Word, that is the person John's talking about, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Word became flesh. And you know what that means? That means human. The Word became flesh, human, and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So that part of John says the Redeemer was a man, human. And it helps us to know that this is really what John means, because John wrote a letter in the Bible called 1 John in the Bible. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. This is how important it is to John that we know that Jesus, the Redeemer, the Savior, was a human, a man. He says in 1 John 4, 2 and 3, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Does that sound familiar from John 1? The Word became flesh, human. He says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. In other words, in John's letter, he says, if someone tries to convince you that there was not a real man named Jesus, or that Jesus was not a real man, that person is not giving teaching from God. He's giving teaching from Satan, because Satan wants people to believe lies about Jesus. And it's a lie to say that Jesus was not a real man, or that there wasn't a real man named Jesus. Does that make sense? All right, so this is getting kind of interesting, because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And then later on, he says, the Word became man. So we get back to this question that I asked you to think about. Was Jesus God or was Jesus a man? Does somebody want to give your answer. LJ? That's true. Jude? Both God and man. That's the truth. Jesus was God and Jesus was man. And so that gives us the answer to the first question. I know there's a lot of questions, but here's the main question. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to ask you guys to say it back to me to see if you got the answer, all right? What sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? Here's the answer. This is from the New City Catechism. One who is truly human and also truly God. So I'll ask the question again. What sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human and also truly God. We'll practice it again. What sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human and also truly God. All right. That is the main point of the sermon today, but we're going to talk about why that's the case. So let's practice it one more time so you don't miss the main point. What sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human and also truly God. All right, some more questions are not as important. Do you know what a centaur is? Does anybody want to share?
Half man,
half horse, good. Do you know what a fawn is in the Chronicles of Narnia? Winslow? Half goat, half man, very weird. All right, do you know what a krona is? It's wonderful. That's the answer. No, a cronut is some half croissant, half donut. Very good. Good Christmas present for pastors. But do you know what all these half and half things share in common with Jesus? I'm just going to tell you the answer to this one. Nothing. They don't have anything in common with Jesus because Christians believe, and the Bible teaches, that Jesus Christ is both God and man. But we don't believe he's half God and half man like a centaur or a cronut. We believe he's truly God, fully God, and he's also truly man, fully human. Not like a half and half kind of thing, right? Where he's part God and part man. He's truly God, fully God, all the way God. And he's truly man, fully man, all the way man. Well, that sounds very confusing. How can that be? And the answer is, I don't know how that can be. But God knows how it can be. We're surrounded by things that, you know, most of us don't understand how they work. Did you ever, raise your hand, kids, if you ever called someone on a cell phone? Maybe somebody, you talked to someone on a cell phone. All right, okay, put your hands down. Raise your hand if you can explain right now how that cell phone works. All right, I expected maybe one or two hands, but yeah. But do you know that it works? Yeah. So you can know that something works, that it's good, it's wonderful, without understanding how it works. Now, cell phones, there are people who understand them. But how the Savior can be fully God, fully man at the same time is something that we don't understand how it works, but we can still know that it's true. And we can still know that it's wonderful. And so that's what, when we talk about Christmas, when we talk about the birth of the Redeemer, the Savior, we're talking about a person who is truly God and truly man. And we don't know how God can do that, but we know that he did it. So think about this for a little bit. In the Bible, there are only two kinds of things. If you've been coming to adult Sunday school class, you know what I'm talking about. There are only two kinds of things. There's God, and then there's everything else. That's it. There's the Creator, who's always existed, and then there's everything else that he created. that had a beginning. So if you think of everything there is, it all goes in one of two circles. There's the God circle, the creator circle, the one who's always been circle, and then there's the everything else circle, including us, humans. And so something we're going to talk about next week and then in the following sermon is this amazing thing when John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word. It's telling us that the Redeemer, the Savior, has always been on the Creator's side of the two circles, on the God side of the two circles. Some Christians in the old times, they had a saying, they said, there never was a time when the Son was not, when the Redeemer, God's Son, was not. He's always existed. Only God never had a beginning. So that's why Christians worship Jesus, because he's God. That's why Christians praise Jesus. That's why we pray to Jesus. That's why we rely on Jesus, because he's God. But then here's the thing we're talking about today. Jesus, the Son of God, is the only person in the universe who's actually in both circles at the same time. Creator, but the Bible says the Son of God also became a creature. He's God, but without stopping being God, he also became a man, a human with a body and a soul just like you. He's the Son of God who never had a beginning, but he is also the son of Mary who began growing in his mother's womb about 9 months before he was born. And the Bible says he didn't change from God into man. He became a man without stopping also still being God. So the way that Christians have come to summarize this truth, and I think it's right, is that in Jesus, there are two natures united in one person. Or as one summary of this truth puts it, our Lord Jesus Christ was truly God and truly man. So just finish that sentence for me. Our Lord Jesus Christ was truly God and truly man. Truly God and truly man. Our Lord Jesus Christ is truly God and And what sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human and also truly God. So you could say it either way, right? Truly God and also truly man. So for the rest of this sermon, here's what we're going to talk about. Two things. You ready? Why do Christians believe that Jesus is truly human? That's the first thing. We're going to look at a couple different verses. Why do Christians believe that Jesus is truly human? And then after that, we're going to ask the question, why is it good news that Jesus is truly human? Ready? So, why do Christians believe that Jesus is truly human? I have four answers for you. I think you can handle it, though. You ready? Why do Christians believe that Jesus is truly human? Number one, the Bible says Jesus is a man. That's an easy one. The Bible says Jesus is a man. That's why Christians believe Jesus is truly human. For example, in 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Did you hear that? There is one God and there is one mediator, go-between, redeemer, between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So why do Christians believe Jesus is truly human? Number one, the Bible says Jesus is a man. There were people in the past who taught that Jesus was really he seemed to be a man, but was more like an angel. Like, God kind of came and he looked like a man, but he wasn't really a man. But if somebody was trying to tell you that, you might say, yeah, but the Bible says Jesus is a man. 1 Timothy 2:5, right? Second, And this is really exciting, and I think it's important for us to learn this. The Bible says that Jesus is a man even better than Adam. So the Bible says Jesus is a man, but the Bible goes beyond that. The Bible says Jesus is a man even better than Adam. Who was Adam? Somebody tell me. Jonah? The first human. The first man. So if you think about Adam, all other humans, even Eve, the first woman, came from Adam. He's the source of all humans, you might say. In a way, you could say that Adam was the maniest man or the most humaniest human. Kind of like water. Water comes out of the faucet at your house, hopefully, right? And if you go and visit the streams where that water comes from, I don't know, there's something more watery about them, right? And there's something more human about Adam, the first man, because everything about all other humans, how we're made in God's image, and also how we're fallen and sinful, flows from Adam. It all started with him. And just like if the water in your faucet, it's going to come out brown if the streams it's coming from are brown and dirty and messy, right? Because Adam sinned, all the humans that came from him in the normal way are now sinful and fallen, just like their source, Adam. But here's something amazing about Christmas, as we think about the Redeemer and about Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is like a new Adam. He's like a new first man. He's like a new start to humans. So one of the ways that God shows that Jesus is a special kind of man is the special way he began to grow in Mary's womb. Before she had ever gotten married or been with a man, Jesus didn't just come a baby in his mother's womb in the normal way of the union of mother and father. Instead, just like God breathed into Adam, and Adam became the first man in a special way that has never been true of anybody else. The Bible says that God, the Holy Spirit, started Jesus' human nature growing in his virgin mother's womb in a miraculous way that has been true of no one else. Because God wanted to show us that even though Jesus is human like Adam, he's not sinful like Adam. So just like Adam was perfect when he was created, Jesus was perfect as a human, even in his mother's womb. So Jesus is a new kind of Adam. But here's the point. He's not less human than Adam. He's more human than Adam, because Adam brought death to our humanness through his sin. Jesus brings life to our humanness. Because Jesus, the God-man, rose from the dead and gives life to his people, humans now are going to live forever with Jesus. So Jesus is more human than Adam, because Adam's humanity and what he did in it brought death and sin. Jesus and what he did as the God-man brings life to humans. All right, so I'm just telling you the Bible says this, but I haven't showed you where the Bible says this. So you ready to hear some Bible verses? Listen to these Bible verses that call Jesus or show that Jesus is a better man than Adam. Are you ready? So here's one, Romans 5:15. But the free gift is not like the trespass or the sin of Adam. For if many died through one man's trespass, who's that talking about? One man's sin brought death to people. That's Adam. Much more, much better news, have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Did you hear what Jesus was called there? The one man. So death came through one man, but then life came through one man, Jesus Christ. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Do you hear it calling Jesus a man, but not just a man, but a better man than Adam? Do you hear that? It comes up again in verse 45 of 1 Corinthians 15. Thus it is written, the first man became a living being. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, who's that talking about? Jesus, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. So Jesus is a man like Adam, but he's a better man than Adam. Adam was the first man, but Jesus is the best man. That's what I'm trying to point out to you about the Bible. What kind of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human and also truly God. Let's do it again. What sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human but also truly God. And Jesus was human, and he was the humaniest human ever, even more than Adam. Because Adam brought death, Jesus brought life. That's what I want to show you. All right. So the Bible says Jesus is a man. The Bible says Jesus is a better man than Adam. Two more things. The Bible shows us that Jesus is truly human when it tells us he was born. So why do Christians believe Jesus is truly human? Well, one of the ways we believe it is because the Bible shows us that Jesus is truly human because it tells us he was born. If God didn't really become human, he was just kind of like pretending, right? Maybe showing up kind of like an angel. Why didn't he just appear out of the sky at Christmas? Have you ever thought about that? If Jesus wasn't really human, it was just God sort of looking human, pretending to be human, kind of like an angel. Why didn't he just walk into Jerusalem one day looking like a grown-up? You know what I mean? But the Bible goes out of its way to tell us these Christmas stories to show that Jesus was born. Because real humans don't just float out of the sky. They come from inside their mother's womb. And they're born, right? If my wife had come back from the store one day holding a baby and said, I picked up a baby at the store today, I'd say, let me look at that baby, because they sell dolls at the store. They don't sell real babies. But that's not what happened. The baby grew and grew and grew and grew. And we went to the hospital, and I see the baby is born, and I see, yes, this is a real baby, not a doll. God shows us that Jesus is a true human when it shows us that he was born as a human. Jesus was a human with human relatives. He had a mom. He had grandparents. He had brothers. He had sisters. I'm kind of interested to see, who does Jesus look the most like? His brothers, his mom, because he's a real human. So he, just like people sometimes see you and they say, oh, you look like your cousin. You look like your great-great-grandfather. You know? Jesus is a real human. And people probably looked at him and said, oh, you look like your grandpa and your mom's side. He was a real human, and he was born as a human baby. The Bible shows us Jesus is truly human when it tells us he was born. Why do Christians believe Jesus is truly human? Last thing, the Bible shows us that Jesus is truly human when it tells us that Jesus died. And this, we're getting to like the key here. Christians believe Jesus is truly human, and the Bible shows us that Jesus is truly human when it tells us that Jesus died. Listen to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, that means his people, God's people, flesh and blood, humans. Since God's children are human, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. Do you hear what it says? It says the reason that the Redeemer became human, became a real human with flesh and blood and skin and bones, body and soul, was so that he could die. Now you think about those two circles again, right? Can God the Creator die? Will God ever die? No, God never dies. God lives forever, which is actually wonderful news, right? Because that means you can always rely on God. God the Creator can't die. He can never change. No one can ever kill him or defeat him. God never gets tired. God never gives up. God will never slow down. God will never start making mistakes so that you can't really trust him anymore. God lives forever. Praise the Lord. But what that means, though, is that God, if he's going to save us from the death our sins deserve, is going to have to somehow find a way to die in our place. But God can't die. And that's why God the Son of God, became human also and joined himself to the creature part of reality, the human part, so that he could die for us. God became man so that he could take the death for his people's sins in their place. We know Jesus was a human because he really died. All right. What sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human and also truly God. So we're just going to close here by thinking about one last thing. Why is it good news that Jesus is truly human? And we already talked about one of the biggest ones. Because the Redeemer is truly human, he could die in the place of human sinners like you and me. The Bible says that we have all disobeyed God. We're all far from God the way we're born because of Adam. That we all, if we were just left to our own hearts, wouldn't love God or worship God or obey God. And that the punishment for treating God that way is death and separation from God. And God doesn't say things are punishment and then just forget about it. So what's going to happen if what I've done to God means I deserve to die and be away from God? If that's what I deserve, that's what I deserve. And that's what I'm going to get because I did that. I did sin against God. You've sinned against God. We've all sinned against God, and we deserve punishment. Because God is so kind and gracious, he made a way for the punishment for your sins and for my sins to be taken off of us and put on his son, Jesus. So that when he died, he wasn't dying for his sins, he was dying for the sins of his people. So that's the first and the main thing that I want you to think about. Why is it good news that Jesus is truly human? 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Do you hear that part? It says, Jesus suffered. He was the good one, the righteous one, but he suffered in the place of unrighteous people, bad sinners like us, so that by his death, he could bring us to God. So think about it like this. Jesus, truly God, truly human, who died for his people's sins, can bring his people to God. He comes into heaven, into his Father's presence. And the Father sees Jesus and he sees a truly good, wonderful, pleasing, obedient human. And the father says, "Welcome, my son. You're so good. You're so pleasing. You're the humaniest human. You have done everything that pleases the holy God." And Jesus says, "I also have with me my people." And maybe his people would say, "Oh, but we haven't pleased God. We haven't obeyed God's laws. We don't deserve to be close to God. We deserve to die and be far away." But that is the point at which the Bible says, God says, "But you're with Jesus, right? You're with the second Adam, right? Well, your sins deserve death, but hasn't that death already happened?" And you might say, "What? I don't know. What do you mean?" He said, "My son, I sent my son to become a human for his people and to die for their sins. So that when someone who is with Jesus, trusting in Jesus, believing in Jesus, comes to God, draws near to God, they're drawing near to God with the one who died for all their sins." And so God would say to one of Jesus's people, a believer in Jesus, "The death your sins deserved has already happened. My son became man so that he could die in your place. Welcome into my presence. Welcome into my family." That's what 1 Peter is saying. He became human to die for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. So that's why it's good news that the Redeemer is truly human, because by his death, he brings those who believe in him to God. I couldn't help but thinking about some other really quick reasons why it's such good news that the Redeemer is truly human. Why is it good news that Jesus is truly human? So that you can know 100% humans are special to God. If you ever wondered about that, just think about how God the Son became a human for us. You can know 100% humans are special to God. Why is it good news that the Redeemer became truly human? So that you could know 100% that Jesus understands what you're going through. You can know 100% that Jesus understands what you're going through. Why is it good news that Jesus is truly human? So that you can know 100%, if you trust in Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. Because he's the one who died for your sins. And then lastly, I think, why is it good news that the Redeemer is truly human? It's so that you can know 100%, if you trust in Jesus and his Spirit lives in you and he's turned you to God, so that you used to be far from God and ignoring God, but now you've repented of your sins and you've put your life in Jesus' hands and you've believed in him as the Redeemer, the Savior, the only one who brings people to God. If that is true of you, you can know 100% that one day you will see God. I think that is really, really, really wonderful of God to do that for us. Why did God become man? I think it's so that one day we can see God face to face. And you can say, I don't understand. How can the Redeemer be truly God but also truly man? And I say, I still don't understand, but I believe it's true because the Bible says it and the Bible shows it. So the big question for all of us, not just the kids, but the adults in the room as well, This is good news. This is huge news. This is momentous news. Because Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He's alive. He's in heaven right now. He's coming back. We're going to see Jesus. And he's the very redeemer we need to bring us back to God. What sort of redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human and also truly God. And we saw today, we're going to talk later, he's truly God. But today, he's truly human. But this big news, this good news for humans, only if they listen to it. If they believe in the Redeemer. If they let Jesus bring them back to God. When God sent his son into the world to save the world, he sent his son with this message, really with this command. This is the Redeemer you need. Believe in him. Give your life to him. Take refuge in him. Draw near to him, and I will forgive you. I will welcome you. I will cleanse you. I will throw your sins away. This is the Savior I'm giving you so that you can be with me. And that is only good news if you will say, yes, I'll do it. I believe he's the only Redeemer to bring me back to God. And so when God says, believe in him and he'll bring you back to God, I'll do it. But sadly, there are many people who say, oh, what sort of Redeemer is needed back to bring us back to God? One is truly human, also truly God. Interesting. And then they go on with their life and they don't want to draw near to God. They don't really act like they need a Redeemer to forgive them of their sins. They don't let the message change how they respond to Jesus. And so for those who ignore the call to believe in the Redeemer, they're still going to see him face to face, but it's not going to be a happy meeting. Because the Bible says that those who reject the Redeemer still have to die for their own sins. Because he's the one who God gave to take away your sins. And if you say, I don't want him, there's no other Redeemer left. So I urge you today, whether you're young, whether you're old here, to really ask God to show you, have I trusted in the Redeemer you gave? Have I turned from my sins and let the Redeemer bring me to God? And if you're a kid here today and you're wondering to say, I don't know, then I encourage you to talk to your parents, talk to someone who knows Christ and believes in Christ to say, could you pray with me? Could you talk with me about what it means to believe in the Redeemer? All right. I have one last question. You might know what it is going to be. What sort of Redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human and also truly God. And you know what? Jesus is truly human and also truly God. Let's pray to him. Jesus, you're the Redeemer. You're the Savior. You're the one we need to be brought back to God. And I pray that each of us here today would respond to the message of this huge news that the Redeemer we need has come to bring sinners back to God. And I pray that we in this room would believe in him and experience your grace being brought near to the God who made us. Through the God who made us, come as a man, Jesus, to save us. In his name I pray. Amen.